So how do I call that in is it aristocracy or autocracy or the theocracy? The theocratic nature of the local church. Okay. Say I'm called out of the world. Come on, I love call and response. Say I'm called out of the world. Say I am called out of the world. Hallelujah. So we are called out of the world to stick together. We are called to serve God together. We are called to be led. We are not called to wander. Amen. We are called to be led, to be led, to be led. And I've told you before, I said no saint of God is born rebellious. No, not one. They have the heart of flesh. We are not born rebellious. See, we are in a time that we actually need so much of this, okay? So be patient and receive the word, okay? Don't worry, I can ask your questions after service. So, we are not born rebellious. Say, I'm not born rebellious. That is why scripture never likened. Please, let me say it this way. Scripture did not call you a sheep. You're not a sheep. But we are likened to what? A sheep. So see John 10 verse 1. Let's see if we can finish service in time today. Once we go, let's read. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door, the same is the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 3. To him the what? Look at your Bible. Verse 3. Want to go? Yes. To him the what? Come on, I can't hear you. Yes. Again, verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he call his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Amen. Verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him for what? Say, I know his voice. Say, I know his voice. Say, I know his voice. Good. Next verse, verse 5. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. Why? For they know not the voice of a stranger. Verse 11. Want to go? Yes. Yes. Okay, good. Read verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. 15. As the Father loved, knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 16. And all that sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and what? One fold. One shepherd. You can see that there is no disorderliness in the church. In the faith. We are actually called out to be led. So Jesus actually planned that his sheep will be led upon his departure. After he died and comes out of the grave, he never planned that we'll just be like sheep without shepherd. See 27. He planned leadership for his sheep. I would have said something like a succession plan, but of course we are not, the pastor is not like a savior. But he planned leadership for the sheep. Are you with me? Are you with me? Come on. Say, I love the word. Say, the word is not boring from me. Say, the pastor may be boring. But the word is not boring. Say, I receive the word. Even though it's boring, but it's not boring. Hallelujah. Good. Let's see John 10:27. You know, some people now, when we are doing all those things of the spirit, supernatural, you see the shares on our videos. 35, 30, kilele. When you start again, just word. What will happen? Say, show us some, what? Show us, give us some. It's what God gave me. John 10, 27. Don't mind me. Want to go? Let's read. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they what? They follow me. Say they follow me. Good. So rush to Ephesians 5:30. Like Brad Joshua actually is a pastor of the pastor or coordinator. What do you want? Which one do I actually call you? Of a different assembly cardinal. Yeah, we don't celebrate the man of God. Hallelujah. Okay. Easy. Celebrate it. Thank you. Now you are wiser. You are not clapping. That's good. So Ephesians 5:30. For we are members. Come on. 5:30. Let's read. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. Again, read. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I say healings are for our bodies. Say we receive always. Hallelujah. I receive something right now myself as I'm reading the scripture. Say, I am a member. See, when you read the word of God with so much assurance, it does something to you. That's the truth, too. It does things to you. Huh? We, saints, I love to say something. Things ought not to be difficult. You are looking for a simple healing, you are looking for a simple story. It ought not to be difficult. But pay attention in the simple moments of the service. In the simple moments. Don't discard some people. When the sermon, that is when they like to go out and just do something. You are walking to the sermon 15 minutes late. You are still struggling. So what are they even saying? No. Immediately you are there. You just wrap your head and you flow. Things can be so easy. But it's all in the greatest of miracles at times. Not in you have fasted, prayed, everything. It's just in simple obedience. Call and response. Stuff like that. Write down. Say it again. Say it again. See it. Read your Bible. Amen. So I get blessed always. As I read God's word. Good. So this is enough to do something to you. This scripture. Ephesians 5:30. Again, want to go. For we are what? Members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. It's enough. Do you know that in the epistles, we don't have so much, even all the places that we thought it was even physical healing, we have asked everything and everything was what? Redemption, forgiveness of sin. So someone will now ask me, so why the epistles do not focus on things like power, miracles, healings? Is it that they are not there? They are there. But they are in what? They are in the reality of redemption. How can you see yourself as a member of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone, and you will allow a sickness to remain on you? Hallelujah. Lift up your hand and say, I am a member, of his body, of his flesh, of his bone. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So now, how come? Read verse 29. So based on that, what does Jesus do? Read 29. Want to go? For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Say, the Lord nourisheth me, and he cherish me. Cherisheth. Nourisheth and what? Cherisheth. Amen. Cherisheth. Okay, that's actually what you want to study today. Nourish. How does the Lord nourish us? How does he cherish us? Nourish is, say nourish.
Nourish.
Say cherisheth.
Cherisheth.
Some people cannot pronounce it. Say cherisheth. Yeah, hallelujah. Yes, Sabuki, say cherish it. Yeah, something I'm looking for in this church. I forgot. Okay, anyway, I'll catch you later. So, of course, that is a Greek word. Oh, E-K-T-R-E-P-H-O. E-K-T-R-E-P-H-O. Ektrepho. E-K-T-R-E-P-H-O. It means to rear up to maturity. To rear up to mature through the church leadership, Jesus rears his saints up to maturity. That is to nourish you up, to train you up, to bring you up. Are you with me? Also, the other Greek word there is cherish it. That is talpo, T-H-A-L-P-O, T-H-A-L-P-O, talpo. It means to keep somebody warm. Amen. Like warm hug. Who has very big teddy bear at home? Very big one. Nobody? You have small one. Small, where are you lying? You have small teddy bear at home that keeps you warm. Amen. So he said, the Lord gives people to Jesus. Don't be kind of, but it's actually reality. To train you up and to what? Keep you warm. Amen. But we'll keep you warm with what? With the word and what? Prayers. How many hours? You pray until you are warm. Amen. Huh? You pray in a box. Sailor. Who are my box candidates here? You know yourself, right? Habib, next long prayer, you must be there. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 7. See the way they use that word, cherish. So don't forget, to nourish is to what? Is to bring rear up, to train up, and to cherish is to what? To keep warm, right? To cherish with tender love, to foster with tender care. Good. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 7. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse what? Cherisheth our children. As a nurse cherisheth our children. Now, the children does not determine what they need. They don't determine what the nurse should give them. If you have a baby and the baby from age zero, from 1 month, he says, "Mommy, know what I want in the morning. Mommy, you know, I don't want this. I don't want SMA. I prefer physical cream. I mean, what they call them. I've read Sterilac." If you have a baby like that, please, that is the Antichrist. Amen. Boss baby. Oh, God. Yeah, baby, that's dress in suit. Amen. Pocketing some cash in his back pocket. Amen. Boo boo gaga. Okay, John 1 verse 12. You watch movies too much. God save your soul. John 1 verse 12. So now, this is where we are. This is where I'm going. So don't forget, the children don't dictate what they need. Now, of course, children there, this is where I'm going, is the Greek word technon. T-E-K-N-O-N. Please write that one down. That is where we are in this service today. Church is a school. You learn. We must not just give you a jasa, give you God, some of you should get married now. I want to dance to talking drum. Oh God, I miss the talking drum. Arayin le mbalowo dan dan din dan 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 dan. Dance away your salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome times. It says not awesome. So this one is just a bit more awesome, but that one is awesome too. Say that. John 1:12. So I said, children, there's a Greek word technon. Please write this down. It means the offspring, the children. That word is not gender sensitive. Technon. T-E-K-N-O-N. Something that Patricia was saying, that's what I actually wanted to explain today about growing up. You grow from growing up from shy to maturity, stuff like that. Just explain that. We bless ourselves and we go home. Amen? So, technon. It means offspring, children. The word is not gender sensitive. It is used most time in the Bible for biological birth. Write that down. Because you also need this explanation to explain this gospel to a Muslim. It also means what? Biological birth. Of course, in that 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 7, when he said, but we were gentle among you as a son, even as a nurse cherisheth our own children. That was figurative. But let's see where it was used literally for sense. E.g. John 1 verse 12. Please be fast. I don't want to tarry long in this junction. I have just three Greek words to explain to you, and we'll be done with the service. John 1 verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the technon of God, the sons of God. Sons there, it's not talking about daughter or son. It's not gender sensitive. It's just children. Offspring of God. Biological sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. So, they were not sons, but they were allowed to function like sons. Are you with me?
They were not sons in sense of see that John 1 to them that received, talking about the Old Testament prophets, to them he gave power, authority, exousia, to become the sons of God. So they were allowed, just like somebody, just this one is, you can use this one for maybe somebody that you adopted, or maybe somebody in your house that you allow him to do everything that your children does. Your children can put on your TV. You allow him to also to what? To put on the TV. Anything, any privilege that the son does, not that he's a son, but what? Things that the children can do, you allow them to have equal rights. Is that clear? So that is technon, technon, technon in this place. So to them that received him in the context, talking about the Old Testament prophet and the rest, to them he gave power, right, to be called the technon of God. See, Romans 8:16 is used for us too. Romans 8:16, the Spirit, please be fast, open your Bible, come on, help me, help me. And that is what we are actually teaching in this series. How do you make your leader proud? You follow. Simple. The greatest way to make your leader proud, to submit, is to follow. It's not to dash in money, it's not to dash, it's to follow. Follow the teaching, follow prayer, follow the ministry, follow the training. So Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirits that we are the technon of God, children of God. Verse 17, you see there? And if technon, children, ears, then ears of God and joint ears with Christ. I will come back to this place. If be so that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Say, I am the offspring of God. Say, I come forth from God. 1 John 3 verse 1. 1 John 3 verse 1. Behold, what manner of love is this that the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the technon of God, sons of God, technon of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, for because it knew him not. Verse 2. Beloved, now are we the technon of God. Hallelujah. And we shall, when he appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Ephesians 5 verse 8. Ephesians 5 verse 8. For we were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children, as technon of the light. Say, I'm born of the light. Say, I am born of the light. Say, I'm a child of the light. So that is technon, technon of the light. Also, it is used for supernatural relationships. Now, we have talked about, I say it's used for three things. Number one, biological relationship, like your physical son or daughter. Number two, it is used for children of God. Children of God. We that we came forth with him from his resurrection. But because we came forth from God, the new creations, we are technon of God. Also, it's used for supernatural relationship. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 4. 1 Corinthians 4:14. Supernatural relationship. Too slow. I think you have to employ a house help to be helping you to open your Bible. So when you are coming to church, you come next Sunday with your house help. Amen. You are reading. The house help is what? Sorry, church help, Abby. This is not else. As you are really opening, writing. That one will be opening Bible because you are slowing me down. Amen. And my salvation is reducing. So 1 Corinthians. Imagine. See what you are causing. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 14. Is that correct? Don't turn this to another thing. 1 Corinthians 4 14. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved technon, I warn you. Not talking to biological children there, talking about those he built ministry in. 1 Corinthians 4 17. It's used a lot for supernatural relationship. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, technon, and faithful in the Lord. Now see his qualification, who shall bring you into remembrance of all my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere. in every church. So that would mean this guy is acquainted with what? With every stuff, with the teaching of Paul, with the ways of Paul, with his ministry pattern. Somebody that is intimate to you. Somebody that, you know, you brought him up in ministry. Somebody that you labor to put ministry into. See 2 Corinthians 4, 6 verse 13. Okay, 2 Corinthians 6, 13. For a recompense in this, in the same, I speak as unto my children. Be ye also enlarged as unto my technon. Rush to Philippians 2, 22. I'll be fast right now. Talking is talking about the, those you nurture up to stability. See, rejoice as you are here. You can anyway. Don't forget anyway. I know that word is has been used nowadays for maybe anybody you just lay hands on, anybody that's you know it has been bastardized. This is my son, my children, ministry, you know, my son. You are not doing anything for them. Oh. You teach them once in a month, or you teach them on WhatsApp, or you teach them, my children, you know. So that word has been bastardized a lot. Well, anyway, it's a biblical term. That's where I'm going. It's biblical. Of course, me, I don't have any son apart from Bubu and God forbid. How will you be my son for Christ? Where do we resemble? Amen. In ministry, in anywhere, we don't resemble yet. Amen. Praise God. Say shy. Alright, this message is an apology to your soul. For all of you have been saying you are not growing. Just focus. Amen. So what I'm saying is that you can actually be like rejoice now. You can be teaching somebody, and the person I won't say call them your son though, but you know they're your son anyway. But it's not just, don't forget, it is somebody you labor to put ministry into him. Now the only person that can qualify for that place in this church is anybody that has not missed any service before. And everybody has missed a service. Even my wife has missed service. So, I don't have any son. Don't forget that. Amen. Praise God. So, because that service you missed, something has been removed, you know. Hallelujah. Come on. Okay, so where are we? Philippians, right? 2:22. But you know the proof of him, that as a what? Son with the Father, he has served with me. In the gospel. Can you see? Can you see? As a son to the Father, he has served with me. Let's go to Kaduna. They take off. Say, Kaduna Ken. Hey, Kojima Ribi. You run away. Amen. 1 Timothy 1 verse 2. Unto Timothy, my own son, technon in the faith. Can you see? He's in the faith. Not, please, it's an insult to call anybody your father because he gives you money. Because he pays your bill. Because I'm not saying, some people, once you just see any Christian that pays their bill, that is my spiritual father. You have two fathers, though, your biological father and somebody that labors to put ministry in you. Not me. Don't forget. So, 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. Don't forget that disclaimer. Not me. I'm just preaching. 2 Timothy 2 verse 1. Is this 2 Timothy? Yes, Timothy. Thou therefore, my what? My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. 2 John 1 verse 1. 2 John 1 verse 1. 2 John 1 verse 1. It's not only Paul that used the word. John also used it. 2 John 1 verse 1. The elder unto the elect lady and our what? Children. Technon. Whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all that they have known the truth. See verse 1 verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. Amen. So that is technon. So don't forget, technon is used for what? Biological birth. Number two, for what? God's what? Relationship with us. And number three, supernatural relationship between men and men. So it's not out of place when somebody calls you son or daughter. Sorry, son and dress. But now, this there's another word used for us is U-I-H-O-S. Pronounce it for me. U-I-H-O-S. Eos, right? Eos. Something like, you know, in the phonetic stuff, it's like Eos. U-I-H-O-S. Now, please, focus right now. This one refers more to an heir, H-E-I-R. Somebody that has kingship. Somebody, someone with rights. This one describes, now you see some very, very, very nice stuff here right now. This one describes someone with the privileges of, it's not, sorry, not privilege, with the rights of the father. Used a lot for Jesus. Why? Because he's the custodian of all of God. Are you with me? This is talking about someone, and you know, okay, let me explain this way. Majorly, you will never find this word used as daughter in the Bible. That you now see this word used as daughter. It's only like sons. Somebody, you know, when they say son in their culture, a son is the rightful, you know, heir, right? When the, if the father goes, what happened? This, the man that can inherit the father's property. Are you with me? Yeah. So that is one that this one is used as. Please be fast. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? The heirs of God, sons of God. Say, we have rights.
Yeah.
Say, we have rights.
Yeah.
To all the father has. Come on, why are you so slow? Say, we have rights.
We have rights.
Say, we have rights.
We have rights.
To all the father has. Galatians 3:26. Must be fast. Galatians 3:26. For you are all the heirs of God, children of God, by faith in Christ Jesus. You are all. Hebrews 2:10. Yes, that one is an heirs of his father. Hebrews 2:10. For it became him from whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many what? Heirs unto glory, sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Hebrews 12:7 and 8. I want you to see this one. Hebrews 12:7 and 8. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with what? Heirs, sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Verse 8. But if we be without chastisement, wherefore of all our partakers, then are you bastards and not heirs, not sons. Amen. Of course, God corrects us by his word. So now, we are both called the technon, offspring of God, and the heirs of God, the heir of God. But please write this in your notes. I searched my Bible. Nowhere was Jesus called the technon of God. Nowhere was Jesus called the technon of God. That means biological son of God. You can go and research it. If you see anyone that looks like it, please let me know. I did my best. I didn't see. Rather, he was called the heirs of God. All true. All those, my only begotten son, begotten son, begotten son. He was all referring to someone with the inheritance of the father. One that has lawful rights to the inheritance of the father. Not about age. But about inborn rights. Inborn rights. So now you are not called, so we too, we are not called heirs of God because we have grown up to maturity, but because an inheritance has been reserved for us. Amen. Praise God. Say, I have an inheritance in God. That's Ephesians 1:13-14. It talks about the Spirit of God, which is like a down payment for the inheritance we already have in Christ. Now, so we have an inheritance in God. We have some inborn rights. We are born with rights. You don't grow to become a son or a mature son. You are born with all of God. So let me do this analogy for you again. This web to clear some of the Trinity confusion that is out there. So Jesus was never called the offspring of God, but we are called the offspring of God. Get it? We are called both the offspring of God and the heir of God. But Jesus was only called the what? Heir of God. We came from God, but Jesus did not come from God. He is God that became a man. Or should I say he was God that became a man? Are you with me? He didn't come from God. He is God. So we came from God. Jesus was not sent from God. That is God walking on the streets of men. Amen. He is not, I have told you, no, I explained this a lot in Kaduna. I don't think there's any service I do in Kaduna. I don't explain the concept of Trinity and the rest. That, because actually, you know, Christians, we can be so wonderful. A Muslim asks you that, Jesus, God does not have a wife. How does he have a son? You just say, just take it. God has a son. His name is Jesus. You should be able to explain. Don't force things on them. Don't say, take it, eat. There are some of you that, okay, say, what is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? Are you saying God is three? You just say, don't worry, just take it. You can explain things. Amen? Amen, come on. And it's when you don't explain things like that, you make it easy. Because truly, God does not have a son. Amen. Truly, that word son used for Jesus describe what? The fact that is Matthew 11:27. No man knoweth the what? Father, save the son. And no one knows the son, save the father. And no one knows the father, save the son. And he to whosoever the son will reveal him to. Are you with me? I am the way, the truth, the life. Philip said, show us the Father, and it will be enough for us. He said, don't worry. And when you have seen, he's not saying I am the Father. He said, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Praise God. So Jesus is the, Hebrews 1:3, right? Brightness of his glory, express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. So Jesus is not biological son of God, but he is the full, I'm looking for a word that will not sound like blasphemy to you. He is like the full expression of the Father to us. How does the Father relate with men? Past, pre-redemption, post-redemption, future redemption in Christ. Before creation, after creation, before Genesis, after Genesis, in Christ. God's relationship with mankind can only be in Christ. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Say, I will not be backslidden. Say, plantainships will not take away my salvation. Hallelujah. Selah, selah, selah. So, we are sons of God. Right? We came from God, but Jesus did not come from God. He was God. Also, Jesus is son is used for his rights to bestow all the blessings of God. That's for Jesus. It's also used for Jesus because he is the one is in Christ that you can be blessed with the all of God. Amen, amen. Praise God. So both Technon and Eos, none of them describe stages of spiritual growth. None of them describe levels. That now you are a children, you have to grow to become a son of God. That is rubbish. Amen. Amen. If you know, do you know, but you know OBJ, right? You know, I love that man. You know OBJ Obasanjo? Have you seen Yabo before? Huh? Yabo, no, Yabo is already getting old too. But will Yabo ever see, can Yabo ever say, I'm no more yours. I'm no more your daughter. I'm now your mama, Abi. What? If you are 80 years old, when your grandpa show up, what will you say? No, that is actually a very nice relationship. You know, I've seen those things when you go to a village. You see a man that is over 70. Yeah, his father is somewhere. He said, where are you going? I'm going to greet my papa. Yeah? And then we sit down one place. The stick. Funny enough, I've seen a grandpa like that is stronger than the than the pa. Thank you. Hallelujah. So, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. So, a son is not someone that has grown up. A son is a son. Exactly. And of course, don't forget, it's more about your rights. You know, we have some tribes, even that is the female that inherits the property. Abi? Indian, right? Ghana? Ghana? Is it India or Ghana? Who knows? Only in Ghana. It's more than that. If you have look at all the tribes around. Okay, civilized world, right? Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is that you are seeing son is not describing gender too. It's describing what? Right to the inheritance of the father. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1. Now I'm halfway. Thank you for understanding thus far. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 1. And I, brethren, So a son is a son, don't forget. Now, growth, most of the time, is described figuratively. Spiritual growth in the scripture, most of the time, is described figuratively. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1. And I, brethren, please, slowly, could not speak unto you. So this is not about who you are, but how I will be able to speak unto you. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto what? Spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Why? He described it. Verse 2, once ago, I have fed you with milk and not with what? Meat. So, what is milk? What is milk? Some of you say, okay, milk is when we are teaching you what? Teaching you. Salvation depends on what the part of salvation. Uh-huh. So, when you say you are forgiven, hallelujah. That is milk, right? You are what? God loves you. So, what is meat? the dynamics of angelic what? Operation. Remember that flyer on Facebook, the school of the how much? Remember? 500 what? Doors to come and learn about what? About what? A dimension into the prophetic. And I asked the man, sir, is it the chat is saying, I'm like, anyway. And asked the man, is it not 1 Corinthians 14? He said, no. It's deep. It's deep. What else will I say? Put my hand on my head. And this is the point. You know, if you can pay 180K to learn about what? Prophecy. You deserve it. You ought to pay it. If you can pay to learn, that means that prophecy will not go for nothing. The prophecy will bring forth reward. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So there is no teaching. Some people now are expecting that. Okay. Now that when I see somebody like rejoice now, what should I be giving to you? Just give you, okay, now listen to the reality of Christianity. No. When I see Pastor Ezekiel, WCC. No. There is no special doctrine. Stop looking for milk. There's no milk. Yeah, there is no milk. Sailor, in the divine assembly, do we have milk? No. No meat. So, Verse 3. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you what? Envy and strife and division. Are you not carnal and you walk as men? Now, see, this is the first thing. Please write this in your notes. Carnality in Christianity is real. And it must be addressed. Carnality is real and it must be addressed. But it never describes the nature of a believer. Because now, if you read carnal here right now, it will, if we don't describe it very well, when you get to Romans chapter 8, when he was now doing a strict dichotomy between what? Life in the flesh, life in the spirit, the man that is born again, the man that is not. When you get there, you just hook up that, that would mean I will not see the kingdom of God, something like that. So, carnality describes conduct, never describe the nature of a believer. Don't forget, it must be addressed. What is carnal? Greek word, sarkikos, right? S-A-R-K-I-K-O-S. S-A-R-K-I-K-O-S. It means someone that is governed by mere human nature and not by the Spirit of God. When you allow your human desires to govern you, not that when you, it's not when you have desires, but when you put yourself under the governance, under the authority, when you always listen to what the flesh says. Don't forget the motions of sin in James 1:13. Let no man say when I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted any man. But every man is tempted when he is what? Drawn away of his own lust and enticed. It's not yet bad. See, but when lust is what conceived, what happens? Brings forth sin. That's where the problem starts. So it's not wrong to have desires, to have temptations, to have lust. But it's when you give in. If you ever get to that stage in Christianity, say, now I'm in level 5. I don't get tempted again. Hallelujah. Praise God. So say, no, I'm not in a level of I'm no more temptable. So say, sir, so what level are you? I'm in the what? Angelic realm. It's not deadly. I've just died. Well, beware of such a man. So, the next one you will see in that verse 3 is, he said, I have unto Cana, even as unto, don't forget, what is as in a figure of speech? Simile, right? Simile, that means it's comparing. Say, as unto babes. What is babes? Nepios, N-E-P-I-O-S. To describe all this thing for you so that you don't meet somebody from the white church and they just use all these nepios, huios, technon to just say, you don't know the deep things. That's it, nepios. You just say, it's true. Our pastor has not taught us before. So please get it today. Now, who is a nepios? An infant, a little child. Please, he's never describing nepios, N-E-P-I-O-S. Nepios, infant, little child. Metaphorically talking about being childish on thoughts. And that's how it's being used in the epistles. It's just a mental, it's to describe something. So please, number one, nepios is not describing when you become born again. Nepios can describe the action of someone that has been in faith since 1960. See some men that say, when prophets Ayodele Babalola was doing his first crusade. I was there. What are you saying? Well, you guys, what are you doing? I was there. When Baba Oyelami was doing, I was there. When the day they pour oil on Baba Adeboye. In fact, it was on my head that they want to pour it on. So just by mistake, that thing just fell on Baba Adeboye. And he took my mantle. Even they give you history. That's just like the father of our brother. When they give you history, they say, so how come do you escape ministry all this while? They will tell you accurate. In fact, they will tell you all the faults. They have the books. They will tell you the number of wives Babalola married. That is not in the book. See here? Say, I know. What is it? I know. Or this driver. Amen. So you can be so old. Yes, babes describe being babe. I mean, a babe can be used to describe your conduct. But please, there is no babe in Christ. Now, let's see where everywhere this word babe is used.
I'm 75% done, so give me your attention. It's not a long sermon, like usual. We'll start a long one on Tuesday. Romans 2:17. Talk us with a laugh. Romans 2:17. Are you there? Good. Let me read. Yo, that call a Jew, and let's see, we want to see where, everywhere that Nepios is being used in the Bible now. Yo, thou art called a Jew, and rest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approve the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and you are confident that thou art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness. 21 to go. An instruction of the foolish, a teacher of what? Babes. So from that word, what is that meaning for babes in that place? Foolish. So can I ever describe a Christian? So who was he talking about here? Which are the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. So who are babes in this Romans 2? Jews, right? People who are born by the conduct of law. Who are legalistic? See, 1 Corinthians 13:11. This one was just so figurative. 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter of love. When I was a child, I speak as a child, and I understand as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away the childish thing, the nepios things. So this one describes what is. This one is just figurative, right? This one is just purely figurative. When I was describing, it's just a figure of speech to describe, you know, everything just figurative there. See Galatians 4 verse 1. Galatians 4 verse 1. Now I say that the ear, as long as he is a what? Is a child, nepios. Now, differed nothing from a servant. Let's see that word. Nothing from a servant, although he be Lord of all. Verse 2. But it's under what? Tutors and governors unto the time appointed of the Father. Verse 3. Even so we, when we are what? Children, were in bondage under the elements of this world. When was that? Verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent his son, made of a what? Made under the law. Verse 5, want to go? To redeem them, us, that were under the law, that we may receive the what? Adoption of. So, children in that place will describe what? When we were still under the law. Not you, Paul. Are you with me? When they were still under the legalistic empire, are you flowing? Come on. Kevin, are you flowing? Come on, check your neighbor. Check if your neighbor is writing. Check your neighbor's note. Why is he opening? Is it Exodus? You know, I remember in those days, when that pastor is preaching and you don't understand it, you just open one story in 1 Samuel. Just be reading. Show anybody, Bartoli, what are you reading? Let me see. This is Revelation. Sir. What are you doing there? What are you doing in Revelation? This is Revelation. Am I lying? Amen. Hallelujah. Bashimeze. You have to leave that corner. You are striving to be alive. You will make it. Don't worry. You will make it. So come on. Don't be dull on me. So, child in that Galatians 4 describe what? When they were under the law, not a Christian. Is that clear? We have not seen a perfect description for a Christian now as a babe, as a child. See the next. See Hebrews 5:13. This one is a tricky one. 5:13, for everyone that useth milk, and that milk here, is what? Unskillful in the word of righteousness. Why? For he is a babe. So what is babe there? Is not your booze, your babe, please. So not a babe, no, don't be emotional. So let's find babe and milk here. What does it refer to? Just go back to verse 10. Call of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and are to be altered. Some people have used this one to describe spiritual growth. You see a babe. No, come on, peace, grow up. You see a babe. Come on, let's see it. Of which we have many things to say and are to be altered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Verse 2, verse 12. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the what? False principles of the oracles of God. What's that? That's the law. Okay. And I become such as have need of meek and not of strong meat. So, what is meek?
What is milk? The law. What is strong meat? Doctrine. So what only should we serve in church? Strong meat. Okay, 13. For everyone that uses what? Milk is what? Unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he's a babe. 14. But strong meat belong to them who are of what? Full age. He's not talking about age of Christianity. This is talking about legalism versus salvation. He's not talking about understanding, madam. Mary, understanding in back. He's not talking about when you now understand the word, though. He's talking about when you move from being under the law to when you arrive at the Savior. Don't forget, this is the book of Hebrews. Hebrews was simply to detach them from the practice of the law and for them to land in Christ. Amen. So, see, 16. But strong meat belong to them who are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Chapter 6, verse 1. Let's now read. You see, therefore, leaving the what? Principles of the doctrine of Christ. I beg you. This is not talking about anything in the New Testament. Principles of the doctrine of Christ talks about the origin of redemption. The origin of redemption. Talking about the practices of the Jews under the law. He described it. Let's see it. Let us go on to perfection. So, okay. He said, let us leave Jesus. Let's go to perfection. What is perfection? Huh? Hello? Okay, if you want to take that literally, say, let us leave Jesus. Let us go on to perfection. So, what is perfection? So, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ is like leaving the foundation, leaving the types and shadows that were used to communicate Christ to you initially. Let us now focus on the Christ. Perfection. Why? Please look at the Bible, you will see it. Not laying again. If you don't understand anything I'm saying, just see Brad told after service. Thank you. He's a custodian of the oracles of God. Not laying again the what? Foundation of what? See it? Say not laying again. So, these are the things they do under the law. Repentance from what? Dead works. Say dead works. Dead works. So, when he always tell you, repent, repent, repent. Same thing that John the Baptist was doing up and down. Repent. Your balance. Consider that. Repent, repent. Change your ways, change your ways. That is just, that's legalistic. That's not the New Testament communication pattern. And of faith towards God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. No, see, scripture never told you to have faith in God. It told you to believe in His Son. Amen? Faith is a work of salvation. Faith is being produced in this in the saints. Chapter 2, verse 2, of the doctrine of what? Baptisms. This is not talking about what? Water baptism, or even Holy Ghost baptism, is talking about washing. Washing. Washings. The same way they wash their feet, wash their nose, feet washing, all those things. This is what he said. That is baptism in the Greek there. And of laying on of hands. He's not saying, talking about the one that we do in church. Some people will say, can you see, laying on of hands is not wrong. No. He's talking about how the priest, Leviticus 16, right? How they lay hands on the goats, sacrificial goats. And they confess the sins of the children of Israel on the gods. And they carry him by a fit man. Any fit man in this church, brother Bina, right? By a fit man, you say, don't you are lazy with your hand? You are fit for planting, amen. So by a fit man, you take him to the wilderness, amen. Praise God. If you don't understand what I'm saying, just look at what? Leviticus chapter 16. You see that there. So, and of the resurrection of the dead. Just like the Sadducees, they say, yes, resurrection, no resurrection, and of eternal judgment. Now, and this we will do if God permits. Now, see verse 4. For it is impossible. Sorry, this verse is this we did when God permitted. That was the Greek syntax. Sorry, I'm not treating Hebrew today. Verse 4. For it is impossible. Now, see this verse 4. Are you there? Are you there? Come on. Sorry, I'm so fast. It is impossible for those who are what? Once enlightened, who have tasted of the heavenly gift, right? And were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. So this verse now is saved people. Now see verse 5. And have tasted of the good word of God, right? And the powers of the world to come. Rashim, look at the Bible now. How do you understand by looking at my face? Verse 6. Want to go? If they shall fall away. Now, to what? Don't forget, what started verse 6? Say if. Say if, come on.
If.
Say if.
If.
Say in case.
In case.
Now, because why will a Christian still go back to those practices of the law? That will mean, those things things you see there, I mean, you saw there, rather, if you remember Hebrews chapter 10, he's saying, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, please open, help me to start up, I can quote everything. For what? The Lord, having a what? Shadow of good things to come, yes, and not the very image of those things, can never, with those sacrifices, which they what? Offer year by year, continually, make the what? Commerce there unto perfect. Next verse, yes, keep reading. For there, when they are what? Cease to be offered, because the worshippers, once purged, had no more conscience of sin. But in what? Those sacrifices, there is the remembrance made of sins every year. Next verse. For it is not possible for that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. So hold on. So why do people offer those sacrifices? To take away their sins, right? To deal with sin. So any Christian that is still trying to offer those sacrifices is assuming that Jesus did not deal with sin, right? Are you with me? So that would mean those sacrifices, they are offered to, let me use the word, to renew their repentance. To renew their redemption. That is why he's saying, where did he say they come every year? That's verse what? Verse what? Which verse? They come every year. Read it again, verse 3, yes? There is a what? Remembrance again. Every year. So, if you still confess your sins to a goat, to a sheep, to a ram, and you kill it, you are saying that you are rejecting that final sacrifice for sin. Are you with me? So now bring that head to just the way you heard this now. Just bring it back to Hebrews 6. So why will a Christian partake in verse 4 and 5? In verse 1 and 2. A Christian that had verse 4 and 5, why did he need verse 1 and 2? Come on. See, okay, let me explain again. Anybody that already is in the state of verse 3 and 4, 4 and 5, why should he still do anything in verse 1 and 2? Huh? Because what? He's a babe. Are you getting it? He's a babe. So now say in verse 6, what he said, because anybody that is already born again, if he falls away, it is impossible to renew him to repentance by those sacrifices in verse 1 and 2. Why? See it? Go see the implication. What is the implication of you still doing atonement now? He said, bring a seed for atonement. He said, all of you, come and confess your sins. Anywhere they do that thing. Say, all of you, come and... I was in the church where the man of God said, well, today is the national day for atonement. What I want to say was, write your sins on a sheet of paper. Submit it. I will take it to God on your behalf. What that man is saying is that Jesus has not died. Are you with me? So anywhere they are doing things, they are doing sin, they are doing things for your sin. What they are implying is that you are not saved, is that Jesus is still coming to die. Because those shadows describe a Christ that is coming. So see verse 6, if they shall fall away, it is impossible. Don't forget what he said. He said it is impossible. Verse 4 says it is impossible to renew them again to repentance. Why? Seeing they crucify in their mind to themselves this Son of God afresh and put him to what? An open shame. Amen. So all those things, are what the babies do to what? To maintain their salvation. So this verse is saying it is rubbish. Because he's saying even if you lose your salvation, you cannot use these things to renew them again. Because that would mean once you start all those washing, feet washing, everything, washing, doctrine of laying on hands on the goats, you are saying another Jesus is what? Coming. But what happened when Jesus died? The veil of the temple was teared from top to bottom. There is no more offering for sins. Exactly. Say partially. So, if you don't understand everything I'm saying, just read verse 9. 1, 2, go. But, beloved, we are what? Persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, although we talk like this. Are you with me? So, babes in Hebrews chapter 5 describe those who are still under the law. Ephesians 4 verse 14. Almost running off. Ephesians 4:14. So this is where we read in our Bible reading. He now said, that we henceforth be no more what? Children. What are the characteristics of children? Toes, toe and fro. Next one, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Amen. So this children, is it a state that any Christian should be? No. 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 With the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Say, I don't live my life as one under the law. So therefore, now go back to verse 8 of the same Ephesians 4. He now told you, he said, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Please always read this verse before you read verse 12. Eh? To tell you that this ministry gift, these people, are you with me? Everybody be at alert. These people that God gave you, God gave them to you also based on his resurrection. Imagine Jesus died, rose again to give you men. Amen. Amen. The same way you have salvation, redemption, based on the resurrection of Jesus, the same way we have men. Men. But see that place? He ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, he gave gift as men. So verse 11, want to go? And he gave, say some apostles, say some apostles, say some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. 12, why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of his stature of the fullness of Christ. 14, that we henceforth be no more children, toes, toe and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Amen. So no believer is a babe in redemption. No believer. But believers are to be taught so that we should not be a babe in our understanding. But in redemption, nobody is a babe. Say, God gave me men for my spiritual stability. Say, I receive them. Say, I delight in them. Say, I delight in reproof. I delight in correction. And I get better. So, you are not being nourished up because you are in primary one in Christ. Don't forget. No. Amen. But so that you don't start acting as one under the law. So, any man that is born again today, you are not born into nursery school. Amen. Praise God. You are born into maturity. That's where I'm going since. You are born into maturity. Don't forget I told you, no saint is born rebellious. Now, born into maturity, I'm not saying you have known everything. But yes, your status is a son of God. Hallelujah. See, go back to Galatians 5 verse 1. Galatians 5 verse 1. Please read this to somebody beside you. Eyeball to eyeball. This is very key. Eyeball to eyeball. Galatians 5 verse 1. Want to go? Let's read, yes? Stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke. Face somebody else and read that to somebody. Any other person? One, two, go, read. Come on. Therefore, the liberty Christ has made us free, and don't be entangled. I want you to deepen your voice now. Face the third person, and that person. Deepen your voice. One, two, go. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
So, we are here not to grow you to become sons. Not to make you rapturable. Everyone has sons. But we are here to, please write this down, you have spiritual leaders to help you appreciate your constituents, to appreciate those rights and privileges, to appreciate your duties in Christ. See, when you see a prince, especially in England and the rest, when you see a small prince, 2 years or 3 years old, they don't treat him like he's a baby. Are you with me? In the normal, they are ancient cultures. This is their king in waiting already. They give him all the reverence. They give him all the honor. They tell him, sir. You understand? Sir, not the way they talk. Sir. I'm still waiting here, ma'am. You are talking to a 4-year-old girl. I'm still waiting here, ma'am. Hallelujah. So he has attained already. So why do we teach believers? Is to help them appreciate their what? Constituents, rights and privileges and duties. Please write duties. Write duties, please. To appreciate all your constituents, your rights, your privileges, your duties in Christ. Please, there are responsibilities in Christianity, but not of keeping your salvation. There are responsibilities in Christianity. Some people say, you are just preaching grace. Everything is just free. You're just free. Come on, come. But should have come yesterday. You know it's free. Come day before yesterday. Come again and this coming weekend. You know it's free. Amen. There are responsibilities in Christianity. So lastly, for today, your status before God will not change. It will not change. Amen. It will not change from a baby to a son to a son. Now you are see nephews. You are nephews. So as you are growing up, later you become what? Technon. So later, you now become what? Eos. No, you now become, you know, senior emoji. That's rubbish. So again, let me recap. So technon describes our what? Our what? Our birth, biological birth, right? Describes our birth. It's also used for supernatural what? Relationships, right? So you just describe what? Our inheritance, right? It's exclusively used for Jesus and also used for us, right? So sakikos, which is carnality, does this describe the nature of a believer or conduct of some believers? Not all believers, of some believers. So what of last word? Babes. Is it talking about babes, booze and babe? No. What does it describe? Babes describe what? Legalism. Legalism. We are still bound by legalism. So, Philippians 2 verse 12. So, your status before God will not change. But take note, you have a world to shine to. You have a world to shine to. Philippians 2 verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own words. Salvation with what? Fear and trembling. It's not work for your salvation. Just let people see the Christ in you. It's work out. Let us see it. Don't just say, stay in your house. You say, come and pray. You still sat in your house. Come and preach. You say, I'm not coming. You are not walking out. Walk out. It's not saying, walk so has been saved. It's saying, let people see who you are. And see the next verse. 13 want to go. Why? Why can you walk out of salvation? For God is working. You say, what? Say, God is working in me. Say, I am God's PPA. Say, God gyrates in me. Come on. So you are God. For God walketh in you both to will and to do his own what? Good pleasure. 14. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. 15. That you may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a what? Crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as the light of the world. How do you shine as light of the world? Is it by just giving them food and pampers? Verse 16. Want to go? Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labor in vain. Last scripture, Titus 3, verse 4. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Pastor Nant, can you help us with the keyboard, sir? Titus 3, verse 4. Oh, glory, glory to God. Amen, amen. Say, I am always a son of God. Say, I am born into sonship. Hallelujah. Say technon describes my birth. Say euios describes my inheritance. Say I am both. I don't grow to become any. I am born ready. I am born complete. So lastly, Titus 3 verse 4. Want to go? But after the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards man appeared. Yes, next. Hold on, Emboji is not reading. Sir, you are not reading. We wait for you. Wait for you. You are not there. Come on, Titus 3 verse 4. I catch you. So everybody, we are delaying everybody. Remember yesterday? When someone is not flowing, everybody was delays. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Just give me an excuse to prolong this service. I'm looking for an excuse to prolong this service. Let me see what you are open. Is that Titus?
Titus 3.
This is Titus Fish, not Titus in scripture. Hallelujah. Okay, Titus 3 verse 4 again. We start again for the sake of our brother. So, ensure your neighbor is reading or else we start again. Is Kevin? Has Kevin opened? Why he open the... Why he's looking at Samson? You know the guy is a gym coach. You know? Okay, it's not Samson. Thank you. Sorry, there's no book like Samson. It's Judges. Where am I? Titus 3 verse 4. One to go. But after that, the kindness and love of God towards our Savior appeared, not by what? Works of righteousness, which we have done. But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Verse 6, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Verse 8, now lastly, want to go? This is a faithful saying. These things I will that you have found constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to what? Maintain good works. Why? These things are good and profitable for men. Hallelujah. See, I'm a son of God. Say, I shine as light. Hallelujah. Say, I can't lose my identity. So therefore, I stay under leadership. Say, therefore, I submit myself to church leadership. Hallelujah. So don't forget the type of topic we are treating. I call it the theocratic nature of what? Church leadership. See, in the church, we have only one line of authority. It's from God alone. Amen? And for you now, let me just, it's so clear. God relates to us through church leadership. They are meant to grow you up. So don't discard the training. Don't run away. Don't say no. Don't say no. Are you with me? Don't say no. Don't run away. Don't discard it. Open your Bible. You open. Come and pray. You go and pray. Let's push to somebody. We preach. Let's heal some sick this week. We do it. Don't take church instructions as casual. This is how God leads you so that you don't act as one under the law. So that you can appreciate all your rights, all your privileges in Christ. See, there are real responsibilities in Christianity. We are saved well so that we can serve well. Are you with me? Say, I'm saved well. So I serve well. Are you with me, brother? So we are saved well to serve well. No saint is born rebellious. Nobody is born to be independent. Independence is evil. The best way the devil can take away your fervency is just to make you what? On your own. Independent. To ensure that you well, you don't listen to anybody again. Well, you know, somebody say, well, me, God is my pastor, Jesus is my pastor. You're not serious. He gave gifts as men. So value the men of God that God is using for you. Value the men that God is using to put you on the right path. Value them. Some of them, you are even older than them. You value them. Amen? You value them. You value instruction. This is the best of God for you. This is how God can lead you. This is how God can help you. Amen, amen. Praise God. I can almost say God cannot help a man without a local church. How will God help you? Because you will always be on your own way. Praise God. Say accountability. Say accountability. Say submission and accountability. And like I love to define submission. Submission is when you do what you don't want to do normally. When you do what naturally you won't want to do it. That is submission. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say I'm a sheep of Jesus. Say I'm a sheep of Jesus. How do you put that again? Anyway, we are saying sheep of Jesus. Anyway. Hallelujah. Say, I follow my Savior as I follow my pastor. Pray in tongues, everybody. Thank you. Pray in tongues. Thank you.
Pray in tongues. Come on. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Pray. In the name of Jesus, I yield. I am born ready to listen. I am born ready to submit to authority. I am born ready to appreciate spiritual authority. I am born ready to appreciate the church structure. I am born ready. Church is not democracy, brethren. It's almost an autocracy. We call it theocracy. God rules. God alone calls the shots. He knows the best for us. He grows us up through church leadership to maturity, to take up responsibilities through church leadership. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just pray. Go down to somebody beside you and pray for that person. Just pray for that person. Pray for that person that he becomes steadfast in the faith. Why are we doing things like this? He has to come. I want to see you in faith. He has to come. I want to see you still learning God's word. I want to see you with disciples. I want to see you with sons. I want to see you with technos in the faith. Technos in the faith. Please pray for that person. Just pray. Pray for that person. Oh, glory to God. To see you with such technos and faith. Please. I yield. It may not be easy. It's not meant to be easy. But we are born to be led. We are not born to be alone. We are not born to be independent. Come on, pray in tongues. Oh, glory most of all, yes. Of all the rats, of Venus, on top. Let's pray. Come on. Valleys of Vatican, Rose, Vaticati. Tatilo Cadele Rosaba.
Oh, Sophia Hannah Shepherd, the weather for Papa, the coat of Sophia, the Banaman and the Badatas. Exophones, the Shepherd, the Phones, the Shepherd, the Heta Banaman and the Shepherd. Ensure your brain. There's grace for service inherent in us. The ability of the Spirit in us can make us serve, can cause us to serve. Can make us efficient in service. We can maximize that. So ensure you're praying for your neighbor. Service is not difficult for that person. Instructions are not hard to obey. We are able to follow as we should. We profit from the ministry that is done towards us. We profit from the ministry done towards us. Pray for your neighbor. No more excuses. Each one of us will be established firmly in the path of God for our lives as we submit to the authority in the local church. No more excuses. We are not full of our own ways. We are not full of our own wills. We submit fully, even to the areas we do not want to go. And we can do it because there is ability in us for that. We have the ability to serve. God will not demand that we serve our pastors without giving us that ability. So we have the ability to serve. We maximize the Spirit of God in us for service. We're not rebellious. We find profits in this.